Somebody say hallelujah. Give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, how great is our God today. It sings my soul, my Savior God to me. How great. The Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Brother Robert Marrero brought us the word last night, and well, I can just see why his people love him. Can't you? Just done a wonderful job. He's here with us in the service this morning. Brother Robert, where are you at? There you are. I want you to come this morning as we get ready to pray. Lead us to the Lord in prayer. He just blessed our heart from the word of the Lord. Aren't you glad you love God's word? Aren't you glad you love to hear the word of the Lord? Shake somebody's hand. Tell them it's good to see them in church today. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. All right, if you don't care to stand with me just for a minute or two, let's look at our prayer request this morning, and we'll go right on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord, the song service. We're just going to have a good time while we're here today, aren't we? Boy, I tell you, that was pretty weak. Some of you just planted on what kind of time you're going to have. We're going to have a good time. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's look at these prayer requests. This is from Vanessa Reed. Sent this in to please pray for his sister Josephine Milano in Tucson, Arizona. She's in the hospital with a stroke. She has lost use of her leg and her arm, but we serve a mighty God that can restore. And we just want to commit that to the Lord. They're asking that we would remember that need as we pray today. Sister Kelly Batman sends this in to praise the Lord for touching and healing my body. I had been battling lying devils for several months, and my Jesus met my needs, so she wants to praise the Lord for that. Also, she wants to thank the Lord for providing her with a job that will meet her needs as He has promised, and she just wants to thank you for joining with her in faith and just believing the Lord that's going to take care of her. Please remember Sister Teresa Salyer and her family for traveling safety. They're going to be going on a vacation this week, and they're just asking that we would pray that the Lord would give them traveling mercy. Please pray for several needs in Sister Ruth Jacks and her daughter's life, that the Lord would be mindful of them. please pray for Sister Jaretta Stockton, having an allergic reaction to an antibiotic. So we want to remember her as we pray today. I want to pray for Sister Anna Shipley, having back trouble, unable to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's pray for that need as we go to the Lord. And here's a request for Linda Kennedy, having back problems. Let's pray for that need this morning. And Andy and Jennifer and that family, they want to thank the church family for all the things that you have done for them during the loss of Jennifer's father. The care and the cards and the things that you've done, they just want to say a big heartfelt thank you for what you have done. And talking to Sister Joy Shantas just a minute ago, I believe she'll mind me repeating this, but her and Brother Ron had spent the night with Sister Natalie last night. And as we were in the song service and during this service, she was able to hear some parts of the service, and she's still battling this morning. She's still battling this morning. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Natalie, Brother Keith, the family, Sister Natalie's folks, her parents, and that whole family, that the Lord would just wrap them in His arms and hold them real close. I believe God can do that for them, don't you? We just, our hearts and our love just goes out in such a special way to those folks, and we just want to commit them all unto the Lord. And the needs here in our local assembly of those that are sick. So good to have Brother Jim Maxwell back in the service with us today. The Lord just bringing our brother along. And Brother Jim, we've been praying for you. We love you, buddy. We're glad you're able to be back in the house of the Lord with us this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, do you know that we're serving a God that's bigger than whatever your problem is? Say, I believe you with all my heart. Brother Robert, come this morning. I've heard him sing. I've seen him eat. And now we've heard him preach. And he does a good job with every one of them. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Love you, Brother Robert. God bless you, buddy.
I could eat, drink good, but I can't preach good. I'm not really a preacher. Amen. God bless you all, saints. It's happy to be here this morning. And just quickly before we go in prayer, I want to just mention that I have to leave immediately to South Carolina. I got a minister there tonight. So please don't take it offensively if I just walk out the back door. And it's very tight because the service starts at 5. Brother Lenny is going with me, and we got about 3-hour travel. And until we meet again. Amen. Praise the Lord. And also, I want to say just a 30-second testimony. I don't know if you all remember that there was a prayer request put here for my mother about 2 weeks back. I don't know how many remember that. Well, my mom had gone to the doctor, and they said that she had supposedly heart problems, and they wanted to find out what her heart problem was. And then I decided, well, I'm not going to let the devil get away with it. She's one of the Amen's sisters back there in the church. And so I went to the Lord and decided to go to the Lord in prayer, and I immediately put a prayer request here that Saturday night. And Monday, when she went to the doctor, I think it was a Monday, I'm not too sure of it, the doctor said she ain't have nothing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we serving a God that is real. Amen. So with that in our hearts this morning, let's go before the Lord in prayer and believe that all things are possible to those that believe. Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, you're a wonderful God. Father, we just want to make love to you this morning and give you the honor and the praise that you alone deserve, my Lord. Lord, you're so great, oh God. You're so precious, Father. Father, we come before thee this morning to serve you, Father. And God, we have many prayer requests this morning, Father. No doubt they are sickness, probably depression and work needs. Whatever the need may be, Father, whatever the request that was put here in this pulpit this morning, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit, Father, may visit every child, every person that is sick, Father, and make him free this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, God, for those requests. Wherever they may be, Father, the need, you're still God, and you're still in the healing business, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Bless these people and their pastor, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Robert. God bless you. We love this guy, don't we? Amen. God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we're going to receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're visiting today with us in this service, I do know we have visitors here. We're so glad to have you. May God bless each and every one of you. Those that are streaming this service today, may God bless our brothers and sisters as well. Let's sing a song this morning. Aren't you glad there's power in the blood? That's still awful weak out of you. Some of you gonna help me, some of you ain't, but I'm gonna tell you what, those that are gonna help, they're gonna make the rest of you look real bad. So let's all do it together, okay? Is that B flat, Brother Larry? You think I can do it in G? I'm glad people know what they think they know. All right, let's try it anyway. Power in the blood. Brothers, you're going to put it on the screen for me, I hope. It's already there. I just didn't see it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Love for a cleansing Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Since nature lost its life-giving flow, there's wonderful power in the blood.
Strength from day to day. power. Now let's sing it with all your heart. Oh, because it reaches to the that with all your heart? Do you believe that with all your heart? Are you committed to believing that with everything you've got? Good times, bad times, low blood, high blood, as Brother Darrell says, no blood. How many of you believe His power is forever going to be real in your life? His blood will never lose His power. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's give the Lord another big hand clap of praise. Oh, blessed be the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah to the man of God forevermore. Because it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it blows to the low, that lowest valley. Somebody say, I believe it with all my heart. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. You're singing so good. I appreciate your input, your contribution. Just makes it a whole lot easier when we all sing together, don't it? Praise the Lord. Now, we don't have a special per se this morning, but we actually do. We're going to have two specials. Brother Donnie's going to be singing for us this morning, a couple of specials. And I know it's going to bless your heart. The brothers are going to play a couple of songs off of his new CD, and I want you to just, let's just enjoy them. I believe you will. How many of you love to hear a pastor sing as well as preach? So we thank the Lord. I believe it'll be a blessing to you this morning. Brother Richard, you brothers, play us a couple of songs this morning.
Showed me love when all the hope I had was gone. He showed me love and gave me strength to carry on. I just put my faith in Jesus and let Him take my hand. I know He's gonna lead me to the promised land. He showed me love. do the same for you. He showed me love here in my heart I never felt before. He showed me love enough to give and ever hunger for. I was always lost in searching, running where I could, chasing every rainbow till I understood. He showed me love. He'll do the same for you. Jesus said he would. He showed me love. He'll do the same for you. If you'll ask him to, he showed me love. And he'll do the same for you. Says when you've done all you can to stand, just stand. I know it's hard sometimes to look through those tear-stained eyes and still see the scars in those hands. Just you keep this in mind when hope seems so hard to find. Surely you've not reached the end. When the whole world has let you down, Jesus can still be found when you've tried it all. Look to him. Look to him, for he only, when sorrow makes lonely all the day and the night closes in, he can vanish the midnight and call back the sunlight. How will it end? Look to him. Now I know questions can, they can get so hard to understand, but they someone who knows it all. His eyes see when that little sparrow falls. He can hold back the sea with just one hand. He's so big he rides on the wind that blows. Yet in your heart, the only one that knows the heartache, all the trouble you're in. When life seems everything but good, remember him, 'cause he's the only one that could. If you'd only dare just look to Him. Oh, look to Him, for He only, when sorrow makes lonely all the days and the night closes in. He will vanish the midnight and call back the sunlight. How will it end? Look to Him. He will vanish your midnight and call back your sunlight. How will it end? Look to Him. Oh, all you gotta do is look to Him. Just look to Him when you're lonely and so blue. Look to Him.
He's got it all in control. Let's sing that little chorus this morning just before Brother Donnie comes to bring us the word of the Lord. I'm so glad that He's got it all in control. The only thing you need to worry about, Brother Terry, is what God can't fix. That pretty well covers it all, don't it? We just won't worry at all then, because God can fix it all. You believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say I'm awake, and you better know it. Now give Jesus another big hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want to be quiet, you're at the wrong place. There's some churches up and down the road that'll just take you in if you want to be quiet, but not around here. We praise the Lord around here. We give Jesus a lot of honor around here. He's worthy of all of it. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance right out in my soul. He's got it all in control. Sing it again. Got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance right out in my soul. He's got it all in control. I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. Sure, it's in His plan. I put my life in His hands.
That you can put your life into. That's right. Let's turn together to the book of 1 Thessalonians, if you would, today, chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. I'd like to begin reading verse 14 through verses 17. I'd like to speak to you today on the rapture effect. The rapture effect. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. Isn't it amazing? There's probably some people standing here today that will fulfill this scripture.
Amen.
Alive and remain.
Amen.
Shall be caught up.
Yes.
Caught up. Praise the Lord. Now if we're alive, and we must be alive a certain way, that's on human life now. Because there'll be millions, billions of people that'll be alive, but it must be another kind of life. We which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, let me read you the meaning of the word effect. We have two English words that sound very similar. And there's only one letter of difference in the way that they are spelled. One is A-F-F-E-C-T. The other one is E-F-F-E-C-T. One is a noun. One is a verb. We'd like to look at that noun today, the rapture effect, E-F-F-E-C-T, which means something brought about by a cause or agent, a result, the power to produce an outcome or achieve a result. Now remember the rapture effect, the rapture effect, something brought about by a cause or agent, a result, the power to produce an outcome or achieve a result or an influence. The condition of being in full force or execution. Something that produces a specific impression or supports a general design or intention. So in order to have a rapture effect, you must have a general design. An intention, something to be able to accomplish a rapture. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you today, Father. We are grateful that we've been given the privilege to be gathered together here again. We thank you, Lord, for the service last night, your wonderful presence and the word that we heard, the encouragement that we received. We thank you, Lord, that we can be able to gather together again today, and we realize many people would desire to be in the house of God, sickness or affliction or trouble or whatever has struck them and they're not able. We want you to know that we are thankful that the privilege has been granted to us. But we know that just coming to church is just so much of that. But now we are asking for your divine help, that something would be said through the preaching of the word that would be able to affect our lives in a positive way. May the word of God, I pray, so discern our thoughts and our hearts that only you can take credit for this service. No preacher, no other man. Lord Jesus, speak to us as you alone can do, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you, saints. You may be seated. There are many different words that we hear in this day and age that are identified as a certain effect. One of them is the placebo effect. Many of you, of course, are aware of this, and it is what happens when a person takes a medication that he or she perceives will help, although actually there has been no proven therapeutic effect for his or her particular condition. The medicine or treatment itself is known as a placebo, from Latin, for I will please. Now this is where the word placebo comes from the Latin word I will please. But there is a term which is used in this day called the placebo effect. Now does the placebo actually have any power in it itself? It does not. But yet it is that people think that it helps them. So really, what is it? It's faith again. It's just faith because they really believe it. So the Latin word for placebo is I will please. There are a few different types of placebos. There may be pharmacological inert, meaning that they contain no active ingredients at all. These types of placebos often contain basic ingredients like sugar, hence the term sugar pill. Medications that do not have any active ingredients but aren't proven to work on any particular condition may also be called placebos. Placebos also have been used in the form of surgery, injections, or medical therapies, or even alternative medicines also count as placebos. So then the placebo effect would be a person would be affected by taking a placebo. Even though there may not be any scientific proof whatsoever, and clinical studies and all sorts of things, we give you this certain pill, and they've done these studies, and you read them as well as I can, that they do this certain studies and clinical studies, blind studies they call them, and they have 25 to 30 to 35, has to be so many to be termed a clinical study. So they would have to be over and over and over again, and then they tally the results, and they give you a pill, and you a pill, and you a pill, and you a pill, and yet none of you know what you are taking, but you're all convinced that you're taking this medicine to make you no longer fat, and say you're fat and you want to be skinny, or if you've got headaches, and they say this medicine that we believe can help headaches, and five people out of this church would say, I've got terrible headaches, and all five of those people or six are giving these medicines. Now some might actually be given the real medicine, and then there'll be some that be given a placebo, and yet all of them will bring forth a certain amount of result. So then they call that the placebo effect. But you don't know which one you are getting. But yet if you believe that you are getting the real medicine, and you have faith and you have confidence in that, that it will help you, and you've done a little research and you said, I've heard about this. My, this is made by Klein Pharmaceutical, and oh, they're getting some real results of that. And, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the description of the drug. And so you're reading that, and oh my, this, oh boy, I'll tell you what, man, this is really a miracle worker. This is a superfood. This is something or another. This is really going to help me. And you know what? You take that, and all you're getting is just an extra dose of sugar. But yet in your mind, you have been so affected. Now you understand what it is? It's faith. Now, you know, for those people around the message who think that medicine and doctors and surgery is opposite of faith, if they only understood, it is only a connection with that faith in believing. If you ain't got no confidence in your doctor, I'd advise you not to go. If you ain't got no confidence in a surgeon, then you better not get surgery. If you ain't got no confidence in that sort of thing, if you ain't got no confidence in the preacher, find you another one. Why? Because it is your faith. So you're, now even by science, they've been able to determine then that there are these effects that can be brought upon human beings and actually translate into a better condition in a person's life because they're taking the sugar pill, salt pill, herb, you know, whatever more that it is, and yet they are believing that something's going to happen. Will they get better? Many of them will get better. And what is it called? It is called the placebo effect. So it is having an effect while others, you know, you may have the exact same condition, but yet you're not taking that gospel, that pill, and yet you've got a headache and you're no better at all. That somebody else is taking something that is being told to them, this will help you get ready for a rapture. This will help you get ready for a rapture. And they are swallowing that gospel down. It is invisible. They may not feel no different. They may not, you know, have no emotion that comes with it. But all of a sudden they think, I feel rapture better. I'm going to be in that rapture. You know what it is? It's the rapture effect. Now, also there's many of these, but I just picked three of these this morning. There is one called the music effect. It is a study on how music is an effective therapeutic tool in behavior modification and control, stress and pain management, and rehabilitation. Now listen to this, called the music effect. So it is a study by which people have studied that certain types of music can affect you. Now,
Now we know that they've done this, you know, for Bach, for Beethoven, for many different ones, to where they actually put classical music in their plants, and they'll watch those plants and they'll thrive and grow. They'll put them same plants near rap and rock and roll, and they've watched them die bad. That ought to tell you something of this head banging music. That's right. Don't you tell me that that stuff don't affect you. Because it'll come on and you'll see people jerking around and carrying on. They go to acting plumb foolish. Right. So it is the music effect. So it's whenever that we would receive it. Now, of course, it's more than the notes and the treble clefs and the minors and the majors and the diminished chords and all that that's going on there. But there's something in the music that is able to relate to the human spirit. Then the human spirit gets elevated and lifted. Then the body will begin to move and it will begin to become motivated. So it is called the music effect. And actually, there is people in this profession by which they will take music and they will come in and they will begin to administer different types of music, not even necessarily gospel music now, just calming, soothing music. And by that, they will have them come in and they will be able to sing certain songs or certain melodies, even melodies without words. And it will affect patients and it will see an effect upon the patient. So it is the music effect. So it is something that is not even words. Say it's just a melody that someone hears in their mind and they begin to get that together. And it's so beautiful. It's so soothing and so calming. Yet they did not receive any words with the melody. So all they got is the notes and they put it together. And people say, oh, that is so beautiful. My, that is so pretty. That is so beautiful. But it has something there that is therapeutic. Actually, not only in the spirit, but also as they're finding out that it is a tool in behavior modification and control and stress and pain management. Now, for those of you who've looked in the baby section at Target and Walmart and different places like that, you'll find, if you look real close, you'll find they've got a little thing there about this tall and about this wide. And there'll be a little display of music there, little samples of digital music, and it will be something for your baby. Now, some of them will be a heartbeat. It'll just be the heartbeat going over and over and over again. And it's on a CD, and you can play that to certain babies, and if they have a colic or whatever it is, they're crying, it will actually help calm that infant child. Now, it don't work when they're years old, but whenever they're newborn, because this is the most prevailing sound that they have heard in the mother's womb, which was the heartbeat. So when you play this CD over and over and over and over again, then it will actually calm the baby. Now then, when they get a little bit older, they will have lullabies for the baby, and it's real soft type of music, you know, nothing harsh, nothing with real harsh instruments. And they found that by playing this to babies, they can actually calm them down and soothe them. And then you Christians think we don't need music. I tell you we do. Some of you come in, you're in the awfulest mood that ever was. You ain't ready for church. You ain't ready for worship. You ain't ready for the word. You need to be sung to. You need to be calmed down. You need to be sung a message lullaby to get you out of the cares of the world and the troubles of the world. And what does that good gospel music do to you? It brings a behavioral change. Glory. You know, they found that music can actually work on stress. My Lord, I need to have 57 tapes going all the time around me. Music, and it's therapeutic. What is it? It is the music effect. Now, if there is a music effect, if there is a placebo effect, if there is a stress effect, there is a drug effect, there is a caffeine effect, there is a sugar effect, there's all kinds of effects, and I am convinced that there is a rapture effect by which there will be a people on the earth, not everybody, but a people which will be affected. Glory to God. They will be affected by certain words and certain things and a certain sign that appeared out in the west that looked like the cloud, like a man's head. It will affect them different than it will the scientific world. It will affect some of us. Oh, don't pay no attention to that. But those that are coming under it, they find a calming. They find a rest in the time of trouble. They find something that's beyond themselves. What is it? It is the rapture effect. Glory! I thought I would read this one also in case there'd be anybody in our church or that would hear this service today that would need this. It's called the stress effect. It's a study that makes a connection between chronic stress and illness and provides effective programs for correcting imbalances caused by stress and inflammation. Now, a lot of the research and things that doctors are finding out is that actually many, many diseases, cancers, and I was reading about some of them this week, that they are actually linked to inflammation in the body. And then now they're associating that inflammation can come by various causes, but one thing that they've connected it to is from stress. So you don't smoke, you don't drink, and you try to watch your diet, and you try to watch this and that and the other, and Satan still tries to get you by stressing you out. So then your stress links so long. Why? Because we were not made to be sad. We were not made to be troubled. We were not made even after the fall. The prophet of God, and so many times in discernment, when people would come across the platform and he'd tell them, go, sing songs, sing happy songs all day long. Let it change you. Why? Because it has a positive effect on you. It has an effect on you, and it has something that links into the human spirit. Now, can you imagine then if you eat right and you try to do right, and you don't smoke and you don't drink alcohol and all this and that and the other, and yet by stress, and everybody here, I guarantee you today, in one form or another, if you're very old, you feel the element of stress. We start feeling it when we go to school. We start feeling it whenever we're so very, very young and we deal with it all of our lives. Friends, is the answer to get rid of stress? No. Because we're living in a stressful time, a stressful world, a stressful age. The answer is not to get rid of the stress, but it's to learn how by the grace of God to deal with the stress of your life. Come on, don't get quiet on me. I guarantee you one thing, every child of God here at this service today needs a revelation from God for your life and my life to teach us how to deal with the stress of the time we're in. We got stress in our family, stress on our job, stress in our economy, stress in our food. No matter what we eat, they say, well, don't eat this. This causes cancer. Don't drink this. My, they're going to get to a spot we can't even breathe the air. It causes cancer. Don't drink the water. Don't do this. It's so stressful. You don't know what to do, but I'm going to tell you there is a place. There is a place in Christ Jesus. Oh my. You try to grow your food and then you find out, well, this is in the dirt, and you try to do this and this there, and the best you can do, it's all around you everywhere. But there is a place that the bride can go to be able to let off the pressure in Christ Jesus. So the stress effect in our bodies, the connection between chronic stress. Now, chronic stress is not something that you get every now and then. It's basically something there all the time. And if it ain't about this, it's about that. And if it ain't about that, it's about that. And if it ain't about that, it's about all of them. You ever seen a time in your life and you get rid of one thing and three more crops up into place? And you get rid of them three, and then up from behind your back comes three more, and you get rid of that, and here come more and more and more. And we say, oh Lord, if I can ever get to the place that I retire, don't worry, don't make your mind believe such foolish things. You ain't never going to get to the spot you're ever going to be free from stress. The thing of it is, don't put it off and put it off and put it off and think there'll be some time that you'll arrive to a utopia. Here, there is no such a thing. But learn how by the grace of God in the Holy Ghost to be able to get in the closet, as Brother Robert was telling us about last night, and get along with God and let off the pressure and find a way, Brother Jim, for us to deal with the stress in our job and the stress of our responsibility and the stress of our position. Why? It is the stress effect. We got more dope addicts, I believe, in this message than we'd probably want to admit to. Except a lot of our dope addicts don't smoke marijuana. They don't do crack. They don't do cocaine. It's prescription drugs. They can't live without them. They have so much pain. They've got this and that and that. Now look, I'm not downplaying that at all. Thank God. Take what you can take to get you over a spot, but don't become so dependent that you've got to have an upper in the morning, a downer in the evening, and a middler at lunchtime, and a this and that and the other. Can't you see what it is? We're avoiding the very avenue that God's given to us. And we're coming under what? The stress effect. And can we say it's affecting our lives? Sure, stress affects me. It affects you. It affects all of us. Some of the greatest leaders that there's ever been down through time. You know, there's a book written by a man that did it on, it's called Stress Effect Action. It's for leaders only. Leaders of corporations, CEOs, and men who stand in a great position, because many great men that have leadership ability, yet the intensity of stress will so increase upon them in their life and their position, they make some of the dumbest mistakes. And people think, how in the world could they have done that? And now they're determining that the main cause of many of them was stress. And you look back yourself on some of the decisions you've made. And you say, how could I have ever done such a thing? What caused me to do that? But a lot of it, no doubt, was stress associated. So your stress on our home, stress in our family. You mothers know what I'm talking about with stress. Trying to raise your young'uns. Trying to be a godly mother. Trying to bring them to church. Trying to, you know, train them up in the right way. Trying to do everything. Boy, you folks is quiet on me. If I didn't know better, I'd think this was a stress-free church. So no matter what you deal with and where you go, it's stress everywhere you go. And you think we come to the house of God and there shouldn't be no stress. But sometimes when you walk through that back door, it's as tight as a banjo string. You know why? Because the devil's here. He wants to cause stress in the PA, stress in the music, stress in this and stress in that. That's all right. This is his world. But we're going to learn how to deal with stress when the music ain't right. We're going to learn how to deal with stress when the PA ain't right. We're going to learn how to deal with stress when everything ain't going to our liking. We're going to learn how to deal with it, because we are the bride of Jesus Christ. We are not a bunch of neurotics, a bunch of dope addicts. So, the rapture effect. All of that other was not premeditated, so. The rapture effect. The cause by which something will be brought to pass. A designer with a design that will cause something to move in a certain way to produce a desired effect. So how would God ever be able to produce a multi-person, multinational, multicultural, multi-time frame change, and it all be synchronized to exact the same moment around the world by those who are dead and those who are alive? Placebo will never do this. Now you realize a lot of folks in the message are taking a placebo. Brother Robert, they're taking placebos. They think they've got the Holy Ghost because they say they believe the message. And they see some results in their life to where I'm different. I'm not the same person I was. I'm a different person. And it's a message placebo. But try to tell them that they're not different. Try to tell them that something about them has not changed. Sure, it's changed, and they feel different. Just like a person on a placebo will not end up, and you tell them you're taking a sugar pill, they'll smack your jaws. Don't you tell. You think I'm an idiot? You're trying to play with my mind. You're telling me that that's just in my mind then, ain't you? No, I'm not telling you it's just in your mind. I'm telling you that you're convinced that it's helping you. What if a sugar pill will help me? Want an M&M? What about a mini Snickers bar? Would that help me? Now, if the doctor convinced me and you that in that mini Snickers bar, we have wrapped this medicine in a Snickers bar. This is not a Snickers bar. It looks like one. It tastes just like one. But in there is superfood. And you eat that, say, oh, I feel it. Man alive, give me 27 tons of them things. Oh, man alive. You're going to get as big as that door back there is what's going to happen to you. But if they can convince you, we have redone this Snickers bar. Abracadabra, abracadoo. We take all the sugar out of you. And we fill you with superfood and vitamins and nutrients. And you read this journal here and you read this journal there. People are getting back their hair from eating Snickers bars. People are getting back their eyesight. They're getting this. My goodness, you couldn't buy a bag within 150 miles of here. That's the truth, and you know it. So many folks in the message are taking a message placebo, and they swallow it down. Man, that's a flimsy excuse, ain't it? I feel, glory to God, Christ and a prophet. Oh, you still got your television, brother? Oh, don't go to picking now. You still cutting your hair, sis? But they have a placebo. And they go back to the church and say, are you doing better? I am. I'm paying my tithes. That's a victory for some folks. That's right. I quit listening to rock and roll music. Don't you tell me that's not a victory for some folks. It is. But the placebo effect of the message, and they're swallowing it what they want. Oh my, oh yes, glory, glory, glory. But then watch them. You watch them when it's a placebo and only goes so far. If they've got the real disease and they ever lose, if they would ever lose and find out, you're taking a placebo. What? You mean this whole time I've been taking a sugar pill? You know what happens to many of them when they find out what they've been taking? The placebo no longer affects their life. Don't you see where we are in the message? Why, folks are turning away, turning their back, going back to the world. I'll tell you what it is, friends. A lot of them are tired of acting like what they are not. Because if they're not bride, they're going to come to a spot they quit acting. They're sick of it. They're sick of going to church with their long dresses and their long hair and acting like something that they're not. But the bride ain't acting. The bride, glory to God, the bride is not acting. She is that word. She don't have a placebo effect. She's got the real toxin. She's got the same shot that Jesus got at the River Jordan. So folks come into Happy Valley Church Clinic. And they sat there, I got a fever. Heart rate's a little bit fast. I'm chilling all over. And the pastor, doctor stands up there and said, you've got the Laodicean flu. Because you're neither cold nor hot. So you're, and then you're burning up. Signs of the Laodicean flu. Rich and increasing the goods and had need of nothing. You're hallucinating. Say, I'm bride. Norma, I'm, oh, yeah, you got the Laodicean flu. So they both come in and they say, I need help, pastor, doctor. I need help. Please help me. So here comes the big syringe. And only God now will give the real dose to his real children, the right soul. They're the only ones that can get it in the soul. Others can get a baptism and boy, they'll, whoo, man alive, my symptoms is gone. I quit shaking. I'll tell you what, I ain't stuttering no more. I ain't hot and cold and hot and cold. I'm on fire, buddy. Yes, sir, man alive. I got a shot. I feel like I could run that devil down. Don't worry, you won't have to. He'll be back. And then after a little while, trouble sets in, heartache sets in, difficulties. This is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. How come anybody didn't tell me? We did tell you. You just wasn't listening or you wasn't here. Glory. But a real child of God, they get that shot. Ooh, it goes in there. Oh, it hurts. Oh, that hurts, don't it? Any of y'all like shots? Any of y'all like to stand out? Anybody giving away free shots? I want one. No, I don't care how big you are, how manly you are. Men can cry like babies when it goes to getting shots. Oh, but when the Holy Ghost shot comes down and hits that bride, it don't just give her a baptism. It don't just give her gifts. It goes down inside the soul and that toxin runs down in across that seed germ and it quickens that to eternal life. What is it? The rapture effect. She ain't got a placebo. It's not a temporary fix. She's cured. I had the Laodicean flu for many years in Pentecost. I had to go on 14-day fast, 7-day fast, and 10-day fast all the time to get close to God. And if I didn't fast every week of my life, I thought I was backslid. Put up tents in the blazing heat in the summertime, 100 degree weather, driving tent stakes in the ground with sledgehammers. Go 7 days without food. Freezing death. And I hallucinated. Wasn't sure if it was one God or three I was praying to. You know, such typical Laodicean flu. But one day I got a burst of Malachi 4. And that syringe didn't go down in there. I'd seen visions. I'd talked in tongues. I'd laid hands on cancer folks and seen them get well. But one day that syringe went down a little deeper than my spirit. And it got down inside of my soul. And you know what it done? It cured me forever from a Laodicean flu. I ain't never going to have it again. I may live in Laodicea. I may live where people have got it. But my soul is cured of Laodicean flu. So here's what we have. People who take tapes, books, Bibles, and go to church if they believe in going to church. They swallow that down. Another group takes tapes, books, Bibles, preachers, and they swallow it down. Ma'am, you can't tell them apart as far as the outside. They sound the same people. Yes, sir, that's right. But it's where the serum is allowed to go that differentiates between the two. Now, to one, it will be a placebo. Oh, man, they'll believe. Yes, sir, I'll die for this. And to one day, they look and they say, wow. Now, didn't Brother Bram call that man's name over here, that evangelist, didn't he call him one thing? And then over here, he called him something else. And that cloud that appeared out there in Arizona, didn't that appear before hunting season actually ever opened? And they say, oh, I've got a relapse. Oh. Friends, if you're looking for a perfect fact theologian, I advise you not to look at this message. Because it's never been Elijah's great repertoire to have facts altogether. As a matter of fact, the first Elijah, when he was here, he had the idea that he was the only one left. Is that fact? No. Glory! But did it change him from being Elijah? No. Look at John the Baptist. He didn't have it all together either. He said, go and ask him if he's the one. Well, if he ought to have all these facts together, he ought to be telling them he is the one. But he wasn't even sure himself. Come on, don't get quiet on me. So if you're looking for facts, I would invite you to go somewhere else. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't even read your Bible. Because there's many things you'll find in your Bible that do not even make sense. The book of Kings will give you one measurement of the brazen laver. And the book of Chronicles will give you another. But there's somebody who got the shot deep enough. They're so doped up, they don't even care. Glory to God. They so got it in their soul, they say, I don't understand it. I can't explain it, but man alive, it has changed me forever. What is it? The rapture effect. So what's this effect? Something brought about by cause or agent. So an effect is something that is brought about by a cause or an agent. So then what if God had a plan by which he would be able to transmit his own life via an agent of the Holy Spirit into the life of every predestinated seed? No one would see when it went in. They would sit right there by others on the same pew. They'd never know when it went in, and they might not have even felt it when it went in, but it went in. And by another agent, something started setting in them, and whether or not you understand it, when you were truly born again, rapturing grace set in right there. But Brother Donnie, what if I go to the way of the grave? Don't change one thing. You're still going in the rapture. The resurrection, the rapture is two different things. Now remember, those who are going by the way of the grave, they get two phases of this. They get the resurrection and the rapture. Because the rapture is us being called up. Oh, just because they go by the way of the grave don't mean they miss out. They get a double whammy. Amen. I mean, they get a double whammy of it. They die and their bodies go back to the dust of the earth. But you know what? The rapture effect is so powerful on their soul that even though their body is annihilated, it's still working. Now let's look at it like this. Well, say Brother Joel and some of the folks here at the church are doing the medical thing, and Brother Joel has done some of this research stuff before, I know, because he's told me. So if you take certain people in, Brother Keith and others, and they want to do a study on you. Now, of course, for your privacy, it's all going to be secret, okay? Nobody's going to know you're doing this and doing that and the other. But let's just say they had leaks like we do in the White House, you know. Uh-oh. Isn't it amazing that dentists get absolutely sued if they disclose any of your information? Yet from the White House, it comes out all the time, and we're just supposed to smile and say, it's just the way it is. That's right. That's the way it is. You got dirt bags in there. Now, then, one would say your name and you, and somebody inside this study, they release it to the newspaper. Brother Keith and Brother Joel and these are doing a study, and all of a sudden tomorrow in John C. Press, you see your name. Phil Goulds, Matthew Murray, Howard Collins, Donnie Reagan, Janet Payne, they're doing this study. Janet Payne don't know it, but she got a sugar pill. Donnie don't know it, but he got a salt pill. And Phil don't know it, but he got an M&M. But it didn't look like an M&M because they put it in a capsule that looked like medicine. But he noticed it had an awful sweet, familiar taste that he really liked. Imagine now you read your name and you read what you've been getting and you say, I was feeling better. I guarantee you M&M's make you feel better. Especially them peanut butter kind. Now what happens to your face? But what if Jerry Phillips reads his name and says Jerry Phillips was the only one of the whole team that was getting the real medicine? Amen. And he says, amen. He stole my thunder, didn't he? You know what? His faith is not going to be shaken because he read his name. Glory! But it only affirmed what he already believed down inside of him, somehow of Amos, that he was identified with the real stuff. My brother, sister, let trouble fall. Let people fall. Let all kinds of things happen all around us. But when the bride hears her name call from that identified word, it ain't going to shake her. No matter how many churches fall, no matter how many preachers fall, but the bride says, I know I've got the real stuff. I know I'm getting the real goods. I know I'm under the rapture effect. There is an agent that is here that is affecting my life.
We had Erica's girls a little while back, and Maria had the hiccups. So she said, Poppy, I said, well, Poppy heard that you can take a little sugar and eat a little sugar and it'll stop the hiccups. Try this. No, I don't want it. But in a few seconds, she sneezed. And when she sneezed, she quit hiccuping. Well, now
She has a scientific cure for hiccups. Her sister's hiccups, she'll tell them, sneeze, and it'll stop the hiccups. But then she says, cause Poppy said it would. Don't attach that to me. I never said that. Oh, children, can't you see how doctrines form? Can't you see how people around this message are hanging their soul on stuff that is so brittle and so foul? Well, brother so-and-so said, brother so-and-so said, the brother so-and-so said, the brother so-and-so said. I want something I can tie my soul to. I want something. I don't want a placebo effect. I don't want something that's going to lift me a little bit higher. I don't want an M&M message. I don't want that. I want a soul cure. Oh, glory to God. I want something that'll change me and make me like Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So something brought about by a cause or agent, a result. The Lord spoke this to me last night after I went to bed. And I kept thinking and waking up in my mind. During the night, we'll go to sleep and wake up and go to sleep and wake up and go to sleep. I thought, Lord, what is it? What is it? There's got to be something you want me to see. Something you want us to understand. And I kept thinking, what? The rapture effect. What are you saying, Lord? What are you saying? And once I found the meaning of the word, then I realized something brought about by a cause or an agent, a result, the power to produce an outcome or achieve a result. So God wanted to produce an outcome or achieve a result. Anybody can kill. Come on. Any of you that's got a handgun can kill. Any of you that's got an automobile can run over somebody and kill. Any of you can maim somebody for life or run over them. A devil can do that, but only God can give life. So what if God wanted to achieve something that had never been done down through the ages? Never. He did it in one man Enoch. He did it in one man Elijah. But what if God set forth a design of his own character that he said it'll be so phenomenal. It'll be so great. There's no way anyone can ever impersonate this. And before there was ever a New Testament, he set it in motion. In Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God and he was not. For God took him. And the Hebrew word is to snatch away and take a bride. So here is the rapture effect. But it wasn't just being seen at this moment. It was seen in this man's life by the way he lived before the rapture. Now watch, people do not wait till at the end of the study to be able to find out if they got a placebo or they're getting results. Many of them within days. It's amazing. As I read some of this morning, trying to do a little studying on it, that many people within hours of taking a sugar pill notice differences in their body. Why? Because they believe. They believe. And it sets something in motion inside of them and they believe. Well, if they can believe that with a sugar pill, what about a life-changing, body-changing, soul-changing message? And they want to laugh at us and make fun of us because of what we believe. And when they take these blind tests, what are they doing by what they believe? And yet they will get results from a placebo and make fun of us when an anointed man of God full of the Holy Ghost will lay hands on you and you walk out of here well. If a sugar pill would help you, what are these hands doing anointed by the Spirit of God? Oh, glory. Can you explain it, Brother Donnie? I cannot, but I believe it's the truth. And I'm not believing it based upon a placebo. I'm believing it based upon the infallible promises of the Word of God. So God caused an agent or a cause to start working in Enoch. And it was the rapture effect. He started losing contact with this world. Acting different, behaving different. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Enoch did not do this on his own. It was an effect of a supernatural cause. An agent that was working on Enoch's life. And that agency was invisible to all else. It was invisible to all else, yet the effects were so profound. The perfects were manifested. The changes was manifested in this man's body as he walked as a prophet of God. And he unveiled the very mystery of God in that day. Where? In his own life. And the effects were so profound in that day that he and the rapture become one before his body ever caught up with the revelation. Oh, children, I want the effects of the rapture not just to be on rapture morning. I want it to be in my life, Brother Amos, every day I live. Watch this agent now. God has a plan to cause tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, whatever it will be, to all be changed in a moment. Millions to come up out of the graves. So God has to send forth an agent to instigate this great plan. Watch this. Show us the Father and it sufficeth us. We are planted together in Christ Jesus, who is the inexhaustible fountain of life. We're planted in Christ. We just drink and drink and drink and push out. Everything we have need of for the earthly journey, divine healing, the power of God, all these other things is in every individual that's in you when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For you're planted in Christ, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost baptism, yes sir, and everything you have need of for this life's journey, even the rapture, is right in you. Not when you're changed, but it is in you right then. What was it? The agent came down from heaven. The agent came down from heaven and embodied you and got inside of your soul. And it is producing the rapture effect. Because the rapture power already lays in you. Making the rapture not just an event. Something that is in the elect before the event ever happens. You understand when a young boy and a young girl, they begin to get liking one another and then they get engaged and all that sort of thing and they begin to talk about their home and their plans and their future. And if God really united their hearts together, they're already married before I ever tell them they are. Their motives, their objectives, what they're setting forth, why something has already happened. And all I do basically is give them a legal right by the state of Tennessee to live together, not be in adultery. Right? And he should never kiss her till that veil is raised upon her face. We know that is right. But yet as far as her hearts, her motives, don't you see the rapture for the bride? The rapture is a revelation, not is going to be. The rapture is a revelation. The rapture is a revelation. It is God revealing and making himself known to you, the supernatural agent on the inside that is producing the effect God wants it to have on your life. Well, we got those among us here. I don't know if I believe the message or not. Here, brother, take this pill. Malachi 4, Luke 17, that revelation. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. I believe it. Till the next battle. Then they come to church. I think I'll just quit. Why don't you? If I was you, I would. Because if you can quit, it shows to me there was never something eternal. If you can quit and never come back. Now, folks can turn away and come back, but if they are gods, they will come back. But if you can turn away and never come back, it proves there was no eternal deposit from the Almighty down inside of your soul. The Bible tells me He that has begun this good work in you. You never started it. You never helped it. You never aided it. And furthermore, you ain't gonna stop it. There ain't enough devils in hell. Glory! There ain't enough nothing in this life to stop the work of the eternal God.
There's a lot going on. I'm awful discouraged. I don't know. I can be able to go to church or not. I don't know if I'm bride. I don't know if I can be able to. Oh, sure, the bride can feel that way, just like everybody else can.
But when she gets done belly aching and moaning and groaning and growling and carrying on like we all do, something grabs a hole from down the inside and says, "What you talking about, boy? You're talking about that seed, Gene, that I put in you, that I thought of you before the world began? Hey, boy, do you know you was with me before there was ever any devil? You was with me before there was ever any trouble. You was with me before Adam ever fell. I had you in my mind before I laid the foundation of the earth, and you are not going to be lost. You are part of me." What is it? The rapture effect. Glory to God, the rapture effect.
Then you come out from under and say, "Where you been? Church." "You act drunk." "I am. Our pastor is a fully intoxicated pastor. He tries his dead level best to get every person there fully intoxicated before they leave. He wants to get them so full of the Holy Ghost that when they meet fear and anxiety and trouble and sorrow, that they can just pull up another drink from that inexhaustible fountain and say, "Get behind me, Satan. I'm going on. I'm going on. You're not going to stop me." But so far, with some of you, all I've been able to convince you to do is become social drinkers. You come in and you behave so nicely and pick up that Holy Ghost bottle. And have a little with your steak and a little bit with your potatoes that I serve you. Now, I don't want to get too drunk because I might act like Brother Donnie. The truth to that statement is you might act worse. Brother Ben said he didn't care how it made him act. He said he didn't care if he crowed in tongues. Can you imagine a prophet of God making a statement like that, crowing in tongues? Oh, glory. I'll tell you what, I don't care. I try to look decent whenever I come out. I look like I don't know what whenever I leave. I try to look decent. I comb my hair, try to put on my tie straight and all that sort of thing. But once the Holy Ghost gets to moving, I don't care if my tie goes that way and I go that way. I don't care, sweat running all over me. I smell like a polecat when I get done, but I really don't care. I want to get so intoxicated on the Holy Ghost. I want to get so intoxicated on this rapture power that it goes so effectively. It makes me act funny. It makes me talk funny. It makes me die. It makes me rejoice. I want to be under the influence of the rapture. Glory!
I wish sometimes I'd seen this when I was 30, but it's probably a good thing I didn't. Y'all would have been scared to death then. The Holy Ghost baptism, yes sir. Everything
you have need of for this life's journey. Let's look at that before we close. So then what if my life's journey leads me through the valley of the shadow of death? And according to these quotes, and there's many of them that says almost identical the same thing. When I come up to that valley, everything I have need of in this life's journey. I might be frightened of the flesh. I ain't never died before. And what this will be like. Yeah, it is in humans. We struggle to live. We struggle. We don't want to die. But when I come up and my heart rate slows, my blood pressure, and I get ready to cross that river, I look across and it may be dark. I can't see what's on the other side. But I can still hold to this promise. Everything I have need of for life's journey. And this is life's last few steps. So everything I have need of for life's journey is in me. So when I start going out, you're talking to me. I can't hear you no more. You're squeezing my hand. I can't squeeze back. You don't see me, but I'm moving toward that channel. River Jordan lays right in front of me. I'm fixing to go out of my body. Oh, glory to God. But everything I need for my journey will not be left in my body. I'll take with me. And when the moment that I'm released from my body, maybe Carol be saying, Donnie, I love you. Donnie. But Donnie will already be gone. And I'll say to death, come here. I need a short chariot ride. I remember when I was a little boy, 11 years old, we lived in an old house. It was pitiful, the house we lived in. I was in that bedroom one night, and Mom and Dad wasn't going to church, wasn't serving the Lord. And all day that day, I got to think about dying. I don't know why. I wasn't a Christian. I called Mama back in that bedroom. It was real cold. We had real thick blankets on top of us. Some of you country folks know what that is. You know, you get in there and you pretty much, however they put you to bed, you wake up the next morning because you couldn't turn over. So many quilts on you. But I called Mama in that bedroom and I was crying. She said, Donnie, what's the matter? I said, Mama, do I have to die? I don't guess I'll ever forget it. She said, yes, Donnie. All of us have to die. I said, but I don't want to die. But where do I go? What's that like? Mom had served the Lord. She backslid. But the Lord started dealing with her. After I spoke that to her, she told me later. Because it's got her to thinking, here my children are. This is the oldest one. They don't even know where they go when they die. So I was afraid of death, scared of it. But once I move on that channel, I'll look around and I'll see him. And there he'll be, death. And I'll say, you sir! Come here. You say, Brother Donnie, listen, friends, the prophet of God said death is not my master. I am his. The angels of God can't pat me over death. Ain't got nothing to do with death. Jesus ain't going to kill me. He ain't got nothing to do with death. But my last chariot ride. Come here, death! And I'll step up on him. When I come. Take me across. And he'll take me as far as death is allowed to go. Right to the very brink of the entrance of the sixth dimension. And all of a sudden the horses will stop and the chariot wheels will screech. And he says, I can go no farther. And through the mist, I'll see breaking. There's my loved ones. As Brother Bram said, when you get ready to cross over, God sends somebody down by the river that you know. Glory to God. I'll step out of that and say, so long, death. You'll never carry me nowhere else again. Why? How can I do that? What is it? The rapture effect. But you say, Brother Lonnie, I thought you said you were dying. I was dying. But the rapture effect is still on. Brother Ram said, once you get the Holy Ghost and you get it in your soul, brother, it is yours forever. You will never lose it. It will never lose you. Don't you see when this sets in you, you are alive forevermore. The body will die and we may bury it, but the rapture effect goes right on to the sixth dimension. The only reason they're not raptured out of them bodies this morning, if them saints could hear this message, they'd come right down and take their bodies this morning, but they can't. They're held by a condition of time. But once God releases them, the rapture effect will start working. Just a minute. The Holy Ghost baptism, yes, sir, and everything you have need of for this life's journey. Even the rapture is in you right then. Don't resent that. That's the truth. The rapture is in us now.
Amen.
And I will prove it by the gospel. Those he has called, he's justified. Those he's justified, he has glorified. Hallelujah, he says. Then in heaven today, we're a glorified in the presence of God right now. I'm just pushing out to it. Amen. Glory. God in His Word. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? But how do you believe it? Do you believe it as a medicine for the cure? Or are you swallowing these quotes in a placebo effect? And see, the placebo effect will let you leave your own wife after you hear it and say, man, I believe every word. I believe every word. I believe every word. And you can live like a devil. But if you're getting the real medicine, you say, I believe it. I believe it. And it'll show out in your life. Listen to this. All that God can do for you, He did it in Jesus Christ. Your work of redemption for soul and body is completed. Even to your rapture. It's already completed. When Jesus rose from the dead, God justifies us by faith, believing that. That God rose Him up from the dead and we are waiting for the rapture which will come. Notice now, it starts. We're waiting for the completion, the consummation. Everything will happen in its season. And let me tell you how hard it's going to be. Let me show you. Noah was building an ark, but he was not only working a miracle, he was preparing for a miracle. Now the church today is not only having miracles, but it's preparing for a miracle. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture of the church will be taken up. Give me a church ready. Visualize to see signs and see the omnipotent God, the great power of God moving among the people. Now watch what he's saying. A church visualize to see the power of God, the manifestation of God, the supernatural of God. Watch this. Which the rapture will be an easy thing when Jesus comes. They'll be caught up because they believe in such. So the rapture effect is already so among them. The rapture, the consummation of the rapture will not be so different than what they're already seeing when they go to church. I'm going to go in and sound the doctor's office and the doctor say, how you doing? We got you here. This is your scheduled return trip here for, see, I think you've been here for, this is 4 weeks now. You've been on this medicine for, what's it been now, about 30 some years for you? Yeah, well, how you feeling? What symptoms are you? How you feeling? You doing well? Or, you know, tell us how you doing. Are you feeling better? Well, I think maybe I'm not really. That's not the rapture effect. That's a placebo. And it run out. But if you're getting the real stuff and you take the prescribed dosage, you see the way medicine works is, depending on the type of medicine, of course, but to keep it in your body, painkillers, you know, they tell you in the hospital you have surgery or whatever, don't let it go down too low. They got the little face there so you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And according to the smile or the frown, whatever you are, you identify what you are. They don't want you to go too low because if you do and then you wait to get the pain medicine, it's going to take a lot longer to get in. That's where folks come to church about once a week, you know, it all runs down, and they come to church and get all built up, and they miss Wednesday, and they miss Saturday, and then they go to Dollywood, and Hollywood, and Wellywood, and Bellywood, and wherever all them woods are, and then they come back, and they're lowering the snake's belly, and they come in, and here I am, I get up here, Brother Louis pumps them up, and then I come out on the second shift, and I pump, and pump, and pump, and pump. And then some of y'all wonder why I'm more at. But those who constantly take their medication. I don't know about you, I need a good fill-up just every now and then. I just need a good topping off, a good dosage. Some of y'all apparently got more than I have. You've got a bigger reservoir tank than I've got. I've got to go to church myself. I just got to be in church. Praise God. You love him, friends. The rapture effect. Let me read it to you again before we go. Something brought about by a cause or agent, a result. The power to produce an outcome or achieve a result. So God wants to make the rapture to where it's an easy thing. The most difficult thing which has ever been done on the earth at any time. This is going to affect millions of people, both dead and alive. But God wants us to see it will be easy. The only hard part about the rapture is us thinking it will be. It will be so easy. All the components are here. It's here. It's here. The agent is here. The rapture effect is already moving. We're already raised in heavenly places. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd be able to take this simple thought today and minister to the needs of your children. Lord, we know as long as we're mortals, we'll have difficulty and trouble and stress and sickness. And help us to get out of this mode of thinking one day it'll pass. Next week it'll be better. Week after that it'll be better. Next month it'll be better. Help us to learn how to deal with it, Lord. Help the mothers to learn how to deal with stress. The fathers, working, the economy, the way it is. Lord, you see all these things that we're dealing with. Our debt, Lord, the worst that it's ever been. Lord Jesus, looking at increase of taxes and gas and this and that and the other. Lord, as a human, it's just mortal. It becomes discouraging looking at it all. And then we have folks that are turning away from you and from the word. We have preachers going in every direction, Lord, and just so much happening. Help us, I pray, to learn how to live and to de-stress our lives. Help us, Heavenly Father, to know as Christians, filled with the Holy Ghost, yet our bodies and our spirits are still subject to stress and sickness and disease. And even as I read you on this about the inflammation part. And much time people get so angry at you because someone winds up with cancer or TB. And they blame you as if though you're the one at fault. And many times it's our own fault. Because of things we have done or things we didn't do. Or because we're surrounded constantly by chemicals and all kinds of things that's introducing our lives to these things, Lord. It has nothing to do with you. Help us, I pray, Lord. Lord Jesus, we want to be so full of your power that the rapture effect will not be on the rapture morning. Help the people to see those who are waiting for it to be at that event will never even know when that event takes place. Enoch walked under the rapture effect for a long time before he ever had a rapture. Elijah was able to move under the rapture effect before it ever took place. Those saints who raised in Matthew 27, they were under the rapture effect for at least 40 days before it ever took place. You were under that effect for 40 days after your resurrection. Lord, help us, Jesus. Help us to live under the rapture effect. Something you desire to achieve. Oh, grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Would you like to just raise your hand to him and say, Lord,
remember me today. God bless you, saints. Put your hands down if you would. Anybody here today know what that stress effect is? You'd like to be remembered before the Lord. Stress in your job, your home, your family, whatever it is, in church. Everywhere you go, seem like it's stress. You'd like for God to remember you. Or your bride, but you're not free from these things. Our bodies, we could take a placebo, and because we're humans, it could have a placebo effect. Music affects you all? Sure it does. So can stress affect us. But friends, God wants to help us. Now, He don't tell us that He'll make our life stress-free, but He'll tell us He'll help us to learn how to deal with it. Anybody else like to be remembered? I want to be remembered too. I deal with so much stress. You go through a trial, you and your family, and you get better. But see, because I'm your pastor, when you're dealing with that, I'm dealing with it. And then when you get better, then Brother Horn and his wife's going through something. Maybe something in her body, or something they want to be prayed for, a family member, or Brother Harold, or Brother Greg, and this and that and the other one. So yours changes, and you get some relief. Mine changes too, from one person to another. Can you imagine every day of my life, I have to deal with people in divorce, talking about divorce, terminal ills, diseases, deaths. Every day of my life, I have to deal with such stuff. Not just here, but from people around the world. If God didn't help me, I'd be a basket case. But I've learned, Brother Robert, there's a place to de-stress. And it ain't taking it out on my wife. Some of you brothers get so stressed out and you come home and you take it out on your wife. You wives, you take it out on your husbands or your children. That's not the place to de-stress. Learn to go in the presence of God and de-stress there in the presence of God. Lord Jesus, I want to offer prayer for him again, Father. There's never been quite an age that's dealt with so much pressure and stress as we do. In the days of Paul, some of the earlier days, it was martyrdom. They'd give their lives. But they'd go and they'd spill out their blood for the cause, and that was the end of it. But with us, it's day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out. We try to be positive. We try to do the right things. And it's all around us everywhere. We need your help, Lord. We don't ask for a millennium before it's time. But we ask for a rest in our hearts and our souls, Lord Jesus. May we live under the rapture effect. I don't want a placebo of this message. I want the real medicine. The medicine. I believe I've already taken the medicine that's cured my soul. Every person, may they realize that if they've received the Holy Ghost in their soul, they have been cured from sin forever. They can never, never be recognized as anything but a son or daughter of God again. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Can we just raise our hands now in the presence of our great King? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Just let Him de-stress your life for today, friend. Let Him administer His healing. Some of you went through terrible things with your children, with your family, with so many different things. If we're not careful, those things will change us. They'll make us different. They'll rob our joy. They'll make us a different Christian. It doesn't please God when we do that. He wants His attributes to be the preeminent thing in our life. You can't keep from being affected by trouble and heartache, but God does not want it to change your experience. God does not want it to change the driving force of your life. Don't let the effect of children, the effect of sin, the effect of trouble make you different from what you are. Let the rapture effect be the greatest impact of your life. The power that changed you when rapture and grace set in motion in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When I'm in trouble, Lord, and I don't know what to do, Everywhere I look, there's sorrow and I feel blue. If I can find that place, alone with you, there I talk with you. I'm privileged by God, so blessed by God, to hear the truth I've been taught by God, to know His Word, to know His will, to know His mind, and see myself there instilled. When I think of all He's done, when I think of all He's done, I say, Jesus, You're my everything. Jesus, You're my all. Oh, where would I go? Who would I look to? Surely without You, I would fall. I look to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, for my every need. On that morning bright and fair, when the saints filled the air, a time of great trouble, and the world will be in despair. But for me, I know the rapture will be an easy thing. 'Cause the rapture effect is already in my heart today. He took my sin away. He took my desire to lie away. He took my desire to get drunk away. To do wrong, He took it away. So on Monday, I'm under the rapture effect. And Tuesday, I'm there again. On Wednesday, I find myself there. On Thursday, there again. And on Friday, when the sun arises, and on Saturday, I'm there again. And on Sunday, I look around, and there I am again. I'm living under the effect of the rapture of my King. For He gave me what I needed for my last journey, absolutely everything. He heals me when I'm sick. He lifts me up when I'm down. Oh, He encourages me when I'm weary. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Some morning I may stand before my mirror, combing my gray hair. All of a sudden a sweep will come in my room. And gray hair will not be gray hair no more. All my wrinkles will be gone. All my sorrows will be gone. All my troubles will be gone. Glory. And I'll be under the full effect of the rapture. And I'll see Him face to face. People of every kindred, nationality of people, even of every race. There will be brothers and sisters together. Go to heaven bright and fair.
walk down streets made of gold. Each of us will be so fair. The effect of the rapture will make old men like new. The effect of the rapture, oh glory, will make old women like new too. And then one day it'll move upon this earth. She'll be transformed in a moment of time. The earth will receive her body changed. She'll be changed like you and I. The memory of sin will be gone. All the sorrow that was here will be gone. Then the King will set up His throne on this earth. The rapture effect, it will change her to a new created image from His mind. The throne of God will be set up in Jerusalem, and the bride will be by His side. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And with all that being said, won't you come and go with me up to my Father's house, up to my Father's house, up to my Father's house. God bless you, saints. I love you with all my heart. Go in the fear of God. Oh, up to my Father's house. Don't take a placebo. Go under the effect of the realness. My Father. Thank you.